Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Get ready, okay. We're sleeping, just slap him on the head a couple times. It's all right. Yeah, it's all right. So when I was a kid, my parents would bring missionaries home from all over the world to stay at our house. Sometimes it was for dinner. Sometimes it was to stay overnight in the guest room. I don't know if you had guest rooms like this, but the guest room was my room. And so when the guests had to stay, I was on the couch. Well, I would listen to these missionaries that had been around the world tell stories of exotic and foreign people. They would explain the spiritual and physical poverty of individuals all around the globe. They would show fancy indigenous clothing, and I would try to imagine people and what they looked like and what they sounded like. The truth is, I was just in awe of these missionaries. My favorite part was always when they would tell stories of how people that previously had had no relationship with God would become followers of Jesus, and how when they became followers of Jesus, it would completely change their life. I was in awe. I especially liked it when they would tell stories of those people that had been sick suddenly and instantaneously being healed when they were prayed for in Jesus' name. More than once, as a child and as a teenager, I gave every dollar I had, which wasn't a lot, but it was everything I had, to make sure that at least one more man or woman or child would have the chance to meet Jesus and have the chance to be healed. Today, I want to tell you about a man who was in desperate condition and who was in very, very real need of Jesus. It is a profound event that one of the witnesses share in only five sentences. It's read like this. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Jesus, at the moment of this story, Jesus had recently just come in to the region of Galilee to begin his ministry. He, at this particular moment, had just finished preaching what is called the Sermon on the Mount, or some people call it the greatest sermon in history. And he had just gotten done preaching this sermon to thousands of people. It was likely thousands, multiple thousands of people that had come to hear. Now, you think to yourself, just put yourself back 2,000 years ago, there weren't microphones, there weren't speakers. So how do you preach to thousands of people and everybody hears you? Well, the area along the Sea of Galilee is like a natural theater. It's like a natural amphitheater. The Sea of Galilee is actually not a sea, it's a lake, and some might even call it a large pond. Okay, it's not that big. You can take a little boat and get across the lake in 10 minutes. It would be no task to do that. And you can see from one side of the lake to the other. It's also, the surface of that lake is 700 feet below sea level, the surface of the lake. So you're at sea level right now, and so where that's located, it's 700 feet below sea level. It's one of the lower places on the planet. If you keep following out of the Sea of Galilee down the Jordan River to the Dead Sea, you get to the lowest place on Earth. And so it's just a little bit away. But what that does is that causes all these hills that are around the Sea of Galilee, there's just hills, and all of a sudden they drop. They just drop into the sea. And so it creates this funnel almost, this natural geological funnel and an amphitheater. So when people are at the bottom, when they speak, it kind of amplifies up towards the top. And so when you're standing at the top, you can hear the little boat at the bottom on the lake. You can hear it puttering away. And so it's very, very interesting thing that's happening here. So what happens here is not really a miracle when Jesus speaks to thousands. It's just what That's just the normal thing that can happen, because thousands of people could hear you. It might be a miracle that thousands of people weren't talking over each other. That might be the miracle. Okay. So here Jesus is. He's hiked up just a little ways to a little clearing on the hill. And thousands of people who have been following, who are waiting to hear from Jesus, they begin to climb up on to the mountain or the hill above him, and they begin to find places to sit. One witness to this event records, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. What kinds of diseases did he heal? Every kind. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began to bring him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed, or epileptic, or paralyzed, he healed them all. Somebody say all. All. Jesus healed them all. The ministry of Jesus had commenced, and immediately, the way of Jesus is being established. It means that the scourges of Satan upon mankind, that's the tormenting that has been ravaged upon mankind, will no longer go unopposed. Wherever Jesus encounters the work of Satan, or sickness, or disease, or illness of any kind, Jesus immediately begins to destroy that work of Satan. As a result, many people within the region came out to see this man. This man who could bring hope to hopeless people. This man who could untangle years of sickness. This man who could restore sight to blind eyes. This man who could bring legs back to life that had stopped working years earlier. This man who could bring immediate healing to the most desperate of situations. The crowds came. They were filled. They were filled with curious people, hopeful people, skeptical people, excited people, nervous people. All kinds of people were in the crowd. People that they had known for decades who couldn't walk were suddenly walking next to them up on the hill to hear Jesus. Jesus was talking to people then. And if you just listen to me for a moment, Jesus is still talking to people now. People heard Jesus then, and we can hear Jesus now. I would like you to just look at your neighbor, just look at your neighbor for a moment, and say, Jesus wants to talk to you today. This is what's going on. This is what's going on with this man at the time that he chases after Jesus. All of this is the scenario. This is the context for it. We know from another witness to this event that this encounter with the man with leprosy occurs immediately after Jesus has done preaching on the mountain. He's just finished the greatest sermon in history, and he turns around and he walks down. He's walking down the hill. He's walking down towards the lake. And the crowds that have been there would have been trying to rush down to see Jesus as quickly as possible, but it would take them a few minutes because they're up in the hill and they would have to carefully get down from it. And before the crowds can rush Jesus or rush in around Jesus, and it's in this moment, in this window of time, that our friend the leper shows up. He just kind of shows up out of nowhere and throws himself down in front of Jesus. When I read the story, I think, where did this guy come from? Where was he? How did he get there so fast? I know this. I know he wouldn't have been in the crowd because he had leprosy, and leprosy was a highly contagious ancient disease. Other people were not permitted to be anywhere near him, and he was not permitted to be near anyone else. Leprosy, if you don't know, would literally eat away at different parts of your body. The disease caused a lot of pain. It would cause great physical pain, discomfort and disability in your body, your fingers, your toes, your legs, your arms. It would create relational pain. Permanently, it would separate you from all of your friends and family. Even if somebody wanted to be with you, they were not permitted to do so. It would create enormous emotional pain. Every hope for your life, every dream for your life shattered the moment you heard the doctor say, leprosy. Your life was over. So here we have this guy. Most likely, he crept quietly up the hill behind everybody else. Probably had a hoodie on trying to disguise himself. I can just imagine that as everybody else has gotten up onto the hill above Jesus, the leper has found a place to hide. He's probably hiding just below Jesus, just out of sight from everyone. Maybe he's tucked behind a rock or behind a tree. And I want you to imagine this. Imagine as he hears the words of Jesus. Again, he is an ear witness to the greatest sermon in history. I can only imagine that as he's listening to Jesus speak, as he's heard about what Jesus can do, I can only imagine the hope that must have risen up within this man as he heard Jesus say this, that in his kingdom, you treat other people the way that you would want to be treated. I can imagine him in his mind thinking, maybe that means that in the Jesus kingdom, even a leper could be showed compassion. I wonder if that's what went through his mind. He would have also heard that Jesus was saying that God wants to give you good gifts, and that if you keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking, that you will receive it. Clearly, from the leper's actions, we can tell that this caused faith to rise up within him. It caused faith to rise up within him to the point that he began to think about this. Things like, I would love to ask God to heal me. Maybe I can be healed. Maybe Jesus, maybe he might be able to heal me too. But then, this is a big shift. Then something shifted inside of him. It went from Jesus might be able to heal me to Jesus can heal me. And there was a definite shift. We know this because of his actions. But this is one of those moments in Bible history and in ancient times. It's one of those moments where I really wish we had a video camera on the scene. I wish we had a video camera closing in on the leper's face at this exact moment when he thought to himself, Jesus can heal me. Maybe a drone flying over and zooming in. Anything. I would love that. Because for this man, it shifted from wishful, hopeful thinking to, let's do this. Something shifted inside of him. I would have loved to have seen his face when that happened. And before the crowd has gathered close enough to prevent him from getting to Jesus, he hurriedly hobbles himself out to Jesus as quickly as he can. And he tosses himself down in front of Jesus. And he bows down. And he passionately declares, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. I wonder if he whispered it, if he shouted it, I don't know. But he said it. It all comes together for our leper friend. He understood the hope that he was looking for was not in what people said about Jesus, but the hope he was looking for was in the person of Jesus. That the healing he needed was found in Jesus. The purpose that he had lost for his life could be renewed by Jesus. And so, he takes a risk. And in case you don't know this, virtually every good thing in life requires some kind of risk. The risk was, would Jesus be everything he hoped for? Would what he had come to believe Jesus could do? That was the risk. The good news for the leper, and for you and for me, for us, is that Jesus was everything the leper hoped for and more. In the encounter with the leper, the response of Jesus is incredibly important. See, a normal person would have just walked away. Not because they were mean, not because they were a horrible human. They would have walked away because it was simply too dangerous to be near this man. It could harm a man's reputation to be anywhere near a leper. But everybody pay attention to this. I don't know what kind of internal leprosy you're dealing with today. But you need to know that Jesus stayed. Jesus didn't run away. Jesus stayed. And maybe today, maybe you've been a little bit reluctant to go to Jesus because you're not quite sure how Jesus would respond to you. Can I tell you something? If Jesus stayed for the leper, he will certainly stay for you. And he will certainly stay and listen. Jesus will not run away in terror when he finds out what's going on in your life. He will stay. Jesus stayed then. And don't miss this point. Jesus stays now. And he will stay with you as long as it takes. In fact, he says, he promises, he will stay with you always, even to the end of the age. That means he stays with you forever. Another thing I really want you to catch is this. Jesus reached out and touched him. He touched him. He's not allowed to touch him. He broke the rules. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't like he bumped into him and it's like, oh, sorry about that, my bad. He wasn't allowed to touch him, and he touched him on purpose. It was out of love and it was out of compassion that Jesus did this. Jesus, when he reached out to the leper, he reached out across and through social barriers. He reached out through regulations. He reached out through health codes, and he touched the man anyhow. It was as if throughout this man's leprosy that an invisible barrier had been set up around this man and nobody was allowed to touch him. Since the moment he got leprosy, no one had touched him. I don't know how many years this man had leprosy, but not a handshake, not a fist bump, not a high five, not a hug, not a kiss, not a squeeze on the shoulders, not a friendly punch in the shoulder, nothing. No one had touched this man in years. But Jesus touched him. He touched somebody that nobody else would touch. Friends, that means there's hope for us. I can just see Jesus looking at this pitiful man as the man throws himself down and kneels down in front of him, desperate but filled with faith and hope. Just picture with me Jesus. Just picture Jesus kneeling down next to the guy. Just picture Jesus kneeling down on one knee, face to face, reaching out and grabbing his face with both of his hands and drawing his face closer. Just imagine Jesus wiping the tears from the man's eyes as he whispers, "I am willing." Just imagine as he leans in closer and kisses the man on the forehead and says, "Be healed." I can't imagine. I can't imagine that moment. I can't imagine the moment when the leper realizes that his fingers are back, his toes are back, his body's working, he's totally and completely clean. Leprosy has left him. I can't imagine what it would have been like to experience the touch of Jesus just in that exact moment. Whatever it was like, it was amazing. And as the worship team comes up, I want you to catch this today. This is one of the earliest recorded miracles of Jesus. And it's important because it was a clear signal to the man, to the leper. It was a clear signal that God had not forgotten him. It's nice to be healed, okay? To be honest, it's nice to be healed. But that's not the best part. The best part was that he now recognized God had not forgotten him. That was a big deal. It was also a signal to the crowd. The signal to the crowd was that in the Jesus kingdom, there would be no outcast, none. It was also a signal to Satan that every disease that he had ever inflicted upon people, every illness, every chaotic physical and emotional confusion that he created was about to be destroyed. You see, the scripture tells us that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and Jesus understood that sickness was from the devil. And so Satan was on alert from Jesus that Jesus was coming for him. Let's bring this home. Let me make it clear today. Jesus said to the leper, the leper said, "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." And Jesus said three important words, "I am willing." Please understand that Jesus is still willing today. He was willing to heal the leper then, and today he's willing to heal your leprosy as well. Maybe it's an inner leprosy of your soul. It's just eating away at your soul. Perhaps it's an emotional leprosy that's quietly killing you. Maybe it's relational leprosy that's just rotting away that marriage that once had so much potential. Maybe it's a physical leprosy, a disease, an illness, a physical condition of some sort. Whatever your condition today, Jesus is willing to heal the leprosy of your body, of your mind, of your soul, of your relationship. He is willing. Would you stand with me? Just across the room, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads quietly? I think we can learn a really important lesson from the leper. Sometimes you need to just throw yourself in front of Jesus. Sometimes you just need to bow down in front of Jesus. Sometimes you need to go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, if you are willing." Some of you today, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to come and bow down before Jesus. You need to bring your emotional situation and you need to bring it before Jesus and say, "Jesus, if you are willing, Maybe you need to bring a situation with your body, your physical body, and say, Jesus, if you are willing, you can heal me. Maybe you need to bring your relationships. Maybe it's all jacked up. You have relational leprosy. You need to bring that relationship to Jesus. Say, Jesus, if you are willing. Maybe you're here today, and maybe throughout your whole life, you've just been kind of grinding it out. You've been making decisions, some of them good, some of them bad. But when you're being really honest about it, you realize you're not doing what you're supposed to do with your life. There's something off, something's not quite right. Maybe you feel like you have a leprosy of the soul. Just eating away. But you can even bring that to Jesus. Say, Jesus, you are willing. You can make me whole. You can forgive me. You can take over my life for me. Whatever it is today, I know that for many, this would be a great moment just for you to come and spend some time with Jesus. Because whatever it is that you need, Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing. The altars are open. You can make your way forward. Why don't you spend some time today just before God today. Just bow down before Him.
Father, today we can learn from our friend the leper. Who made a huge risk. Who allowed hope and faith to rise up within him. Recognize that Jesus is completely able to touch him. Today I ask that you will give us a courage and a strength. I ask that you will cause faith and hope to rise up within each and every one here today. That we would be able to be so bold as to throw ourselves before you and say, if you are willing. And know with complete confidence that you are willing. That you are willing to touch and you are willing to heal and you are willing to rescue. You are willing to restore every body, every mind, every spirit, every relationship. You are willing to restore. And today, we ask that you would bring that restoration and that freedom amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys.